All right, there we go. Hello, North Shore Sports Night tonight. It's a Monday night, drizzly here on the East Coast, and it's the end of March, almost the end of March anyway. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, Bill Newell, and of course the cast of thousands. But I'm the one in studio here tonight. Tim is coaching baseball. Bill has been working diligently, as he usually does, and we're going to talk to a couple of Bill talks to a couple of kids tonight that we'll get to in just a moment. But this is our Monday night show that we have been doing here for quite some time now, and it's not really a talk show. It's an interview show as much as we can do it and as often as we can. And the lineup tonight, let's see. We're going to start off with Hamilton Wenham Director of Athletics Craig Genualdo. I saw Craig at the last basketball game, the girls' basketball game against Arlington Catholic, and it was an amazing game. Tremendous turnout by the student body. We'll talk to Craig about that, about girls' basketball and all the other winter happenings at Hamilton Wenham, and take a look ahead to see what's going on in spring, as there are a lot of scrimmages underway, I think, or at least they're scheduled to be underway. I don't know if they really got underway with the weather as it is. A lot of teams, of course, if not all teams, still practicing indoors. I think lacrosse gets outside. There's some tough kids, girls and boys. They get outside in this weather. But I don't think that the other teams are out yet. We'll check. Anyway, the season will open up on Friday for some teams, including Gloucester Girls Lacrosse. They will be opening up against Peabody at home. That will be a 5 o'clock game. Hope to talk to Nick Kukuru about that and other things later on. Nick talking about the Gloucester football schedule today in the Gloucester Times. So we'll take a look at that stuff. And we welcome back Gary Larrabee. Yay. If Gary's on, that means it's spring. That means it's springtime. Gary will be updating us on what's going on the pro scene, of course, on the local scene, as I'm sure it's just about ready to get underway. And, of course, Gary is the liaison, the media liaison, for the 2017 senior opening that'll be taking place here on the North Shore. So I'm sure we'll get Gary to talk a little bit about that and other things as well. In fact, he actually sent me an agenda, and the top, right at the top of the list will be Salem Country Club U.S. Senior Open as the seniors resume this week in Biloxi. So we'll talk about that and other things on Gary's schedule as well. Now, what else do we have here? I mentioned Nick. We'll have Nick Kukuru on. Now, Bill Newell is going to be talking to the student-athlete, the Moynihan Lumber North Shore Student Athletes of the Month. They are Caroline Pratt, who is at Pingree. She is a swimmer, and a swimmer from St. John's Prep, Oliver Zimitrovich. And Oliver Zimitrovich, Caroline Pratt, they will be on as well. Bill actually posted these interviews a day or two ago, and we're going to run them during this program as well. So if you have any comments, questions, complaints, whatever, you can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, and I'll be checking out the email as we go along here this evening. If you haven't spread the word, please do. This is our information program. It's been going on for a while. Heard most Monday nights here at 7 o'clock on MSO. We will be hopefully taking to the road at some point, and also we're going to be featuring some baseball games, some video streaming, live video streaming of some baseball games coming up this summer, and we'll be covering the other sports too. Not sure if we're going to be broadcasting them live, but we can. We have that capability. So if there's a huge game coming up, why don't you let us know about it, and maybe we can go cover that game for you. So, believe it or not, we're also talking football already. We're looking ahead to football. I know we haven't even gotten to spring yet, but that's the deal. Okay, so that's the lineup for tonight. We'll talk high school sports primarily, but other stuff too. And, again, email us at msonewsports@gmail.com if you'd like to chime in. We do have a phone number. You can leave messages and record messages. You can leave reports if your team is doing well or you want to report on a game or something along those lines. You can call 978-325-3638. 978-325-3638. That is our scoreboard hotline, and it's our recording line, and it's our message line. It's our MSO sports line. And news line, too, if you have a news tip, 978-325-3638. And if you want to leave a report, if you're a high school reporter, a high school sports reporter, or reporting for your newspaper, we'll be glad to put you on the air. Most definitely, 978-325-3638. I saw Robert Parrish recently on Comcast, I think it was, they were talking about the 86 Celtics, and I do remember he would always say, most definitely, we have to come together, play better. How did he say it? We had to play better, most individually and collectively as a team. That was his answer every single week. Got to play better individually and collectively as a team. And boy, they did. But I digress. Okay, take our first break of the evening, and we'll come back and check in with Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director Craig Genualdo. Tonight, this is MSO News Sports. It is North Shore Sports Night, heard on most Monday nights.
MSONewsSports.com is known for connecting North Shore sports fans with local sports newsmakers. Features on teams and players. Exclusive video interviews following the big games. Live event coverage such as high school football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. Live video coverage of the Gloucester Fiesta. MSO also connects you to the area news leaders, mayors, state representatives, state senators, town administrators, city and town elected officials, business leaders, and more. Entertainment features. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MSO News Sports. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Leave a voice message anytime, 978-325-3638. Stay connected to your North Shore neighbors by simply clicking on msonewsports.com. Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
All right, let's come back with the Rolling Stones here. All right, we're talking now with Hamilton Wenham Director of Athletics, Craig Genualdo. Craig Genualdo. Hi, Craig.
Hello, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. Now, the last time I saw you was at the, I believe it was the Arlington Catholic Hamilton Wenham girls basketball game. That was an amazing event. So I remember that the thing that impressed me, Craig, was the turnout with the student body. Obviously, the game, we can talk about that. But a tremendous turnout from the kids.
No, and I think what's been really nice the last couple of years, and certainly was nice and well-deserved for our girls' basketball team, is, you know, when we start to advance in whatever tournament we're in, the student body does come out, the community comes out, and it's nice that different teams have gotten to experience that over the last couple of years. You know, just a couple of years ago, the girls' basketball team didn't really find a lot of success in the win column. They were, you know, they were laying the groundwork certainly for a great future, but they weren't really there yet. And so, you know, 2 years ago, you have the whole community coming out to the boys' games, and they're going, "Where is everybody?" And I think it was wonderful for them to feel kind of like the love of the community and the student body and the teachers, and you know, all that excitement that comes with advancing in a state tournament. It was really nice for them to see a huge crowd like that. I think, you know, even the game before, which was played in Woburn, I forget the team we played, but that was, I think we played Watertown. I think they were overwhelmed in the first quarter a little bit by just how many people were there. And, you know, by the end of the game, they were really using it to their advantage. So it was good for them to be able to feel supported like that.
You know, the thing is, Greg, this it's almost like a college atmosphere. And this is something that whether you're on the team or whether you're a sibling of someone on the team or you're in the school or you're just there supporting the school, this is something that the kids in particular are going to remember. They're going to remember this forever. They're going to remember that feeling, whether they remember the game or not or even where the game was. But they're going to remember that feeling.
There was a couple times during that game where, you know, especially during the comeback in the second half, and, you know, somebody from our side would hit a big shot. And there's, like, kind of that, you think back to the Celtics, which the students probably don't even are aware of, but, you know, you think when Larry Bird used to shoot a three, right? And the ball would hang in the air for just that second, and it was quiet.
Yeah.
It goes in, and all of a sudden, everybody goes nuts. there was a couple legitimate moments like that during the comeback. I know Liz Kirshner hit a couple big shots, and Jackie Phibby hit a few big shots, and they all did. And they all played well, and they were great moments. And I think that kind of rush and that, wow, did that really just happen? that stays with you forever, and hopefully... You know, I think they came from a place where they really had to work to get where they were, and I hope that if nothing else, you know, because a team can work their tail off for a long time and never get to play, and it doesn't make them any less dedicated to what they did or any less deserving of feeling a moment like that. You really have to be lucky too, but they really deserved that from where they came from and how hard they worked to experience that. So that's probably what I'm most happy about for them.
I talked to Elizabeth after the game and, you know, naturally disappointed in losing after that tremendous comeback. But she said that it was the Patriots Super Bowl game was on their mind because they were down by 20 at the half. They'd only scored 9 points in the first half, and then they came back to take the lead. But talking to Elizabeth, she was so quick and easy to talk about her teammates and her coaches and what a fun time that they had. So obviously, you know, a great student-athlete. But that, again, part of the high school experience.
She's a special, special kid and a very special student athlete. Her ability to be tenacious on the court and just attack her opponents and attack the game, and you know, she was the MVP of the league in soccer, I think, and she played such a critical role in basketball. And then just to be such a well-spoken, humble, loving kid off the court. She's a special kid, and she's emblematic. I mean, and you know, there's a lot of kids like her. You mentioned her, and you're right in saying that. And I have a special place in my heart for her and watching her play. But, you know, we have a lot of male athletes, female athletes that kind of carry that passion and then off the court are very well-spoken and speak highly of their teammates. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for is be a great teammate, love your teammates, and play for them. And anything else is gravy.
Well, you've got some great coaches, too, at Hamilton, Wenham, Craig. But before we get to that, I want to ask you, I'm going to go to the heart here now, and you don't have to tell me exactly what you said, but there was a time during the game when there were kids. Now, at the gym we were at St. John's Prep, the stands are right on. We were at the Prep, right?
No, we were in,
Wakefield.
Wakefield. Yeah, Wakefield.
Okay, I get confused. But the gym in Wakefield, the stands are right on the court. So if the ball goes out of bounds, you've got about 12 inches for a kid to go get the ball and inbound it.
Yep.
So the student body was standing there, and they were cheering and rooting and all kinds of costumes and garb and so on. And you got one kid and pulled him over to the side. Now, without giving anything away, what prompts you to do that, Craig, and how do you handle that? Because I know you've had a lot of experience with it, and the kids are so well-behaved.
Well, it's hard, right, because you're so excited that the kids are there. And, you know, if memory serves, that was a Saturday night. And so this is what they chose to do on a Saturday night. They chose to come support their classmates. And, you know, you mentioned the college atmosphere, and there's a lot of stuff, you know, in a Duke-UNC game I wouldn't necessarily want, you know, in a Cape Ann League game or a Hamilton Wenham game, that, you know, the ADs in the Cape Ann League really work hard to make sure the athletes on the court feel valued. And there's always some good-natured chirping that goes back and forth between, you know, one side and the other, but you just never want to see that kind of go over the line. So there was one guy, you know, who's a good kid. I had talked to him a couple of times, and my biggest thing with him wasn't anything he was doing, is just that he was coming too close to the court. And I said, look, either you're going to get run over or someone's going to sprain an ankle. I said, why don't you stand over here with me for a minute? You know, and actually it's funny, without getting too specific, like you said, what I told him was, I said, look, you're one of the smartest kids over there. If you do the right thing, everyone's going to follow you. If you're jumping on the floor, people are going to follow that. So, you know, so let's do the right thing here and try to be supportive of the girls, because that's why we're here. We don't want to make us the story. We want them to be the story.
Well, you know, and a kid gets that too, Craig. When you talk to a man-to-man like that, eye-to-eye, quietly, they get it.
Yeah. No, you can't. I don't care what sport it is. I don't care where you are, boys, girls, whatever. No matter what the demographic of the school is, kids don't want to be called out in front of their friends. And so whether you're a coach or an administrator or whatever, if you call a kid out in front of a group of people, you're going to get nowhere with them, and no one's going to have the outcome that they desire. So hopefully, you know, maybe when I was 25 and, you know, as a first-time AD, I might have handled that differently. And I'd like to think over the years that I've gotten some sense into me and say, you know, this is a kid that, you know, he doesn't want to be stood up in front of anyone. He just, you know, if you talk to someone, sometimes you get better results. It's probably good advice, I guess. I don't know.
I'd like to go back and meet myself as a first or second year teacher. I would have some advice for him too.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Well, Craig, obviously a tremendous season for Coach DeMarco, and you know, especially after 2 years ago. But what about your other winter sports? Give us a thumbnail on how everybody did.
So a few things. I mean, Coach DeMarino for the boys basketball team continues to do an amazing job. In his second year, you know, he took over for Coach Hoke after an undefeated season, and, you know, everybody's leaving, and, like, you know, the Twins transferred, and then even last year we had the league MVP as a sophomore, and he transferred out, and they won the league again. You know, they have young kids playing, they have a veteran group in there that's mixed in, and they had a great season. They won the league, and they did a great job, and we faced it, like, you know, that was a great game when we played Polk John at our place in the state tournament. An amazing game that came down literally to the last shot. A lot like the girls, we had to come back and we grinded. We finally took the lead with, you know, I think it was like with 25 seconds left for the first time, and they hit a fadeaway going out of bounds, teardrop shot to win the game. So they had a great season. Our swim program led by Coach Klobuchar had an amazing run there. They always have kids that place well. It's probably our most well-populated winter sport. We have, I don't know how many kids, sometimes if you show up at a practice, you can't even tell, you know, how the kids are swimming in the lanes because there's so many kids in the pool. And so that's wonderful to see. Of course, Coach Sawyer does a great job in anything he does. The guy could touch anything, it would turn to gold. And so any athlete that he comes in contact with is going to have a great experience in indoor track. And then the one that, you know, the one that's really, you know, probably went under the radar and people probably don't know just how much went into it was our hockey team. Mm-hmm. As of 4 years ago, we didn't have a hockey team that had Hamilton Wenham on the front of the jersey. We're very grateful and lucky to co-op at Salem, and they were great hosts for a number of years. But there was a group of parents and kids that were really looking to start their own team. And so before this year, we had been JV for a couple years, and this is our first foray into varsity. And our record was 0-18-2, but, you know, we had about a 12-13 game stretch there in the middle where we're playing some of the best teams in the Northeast Conference and the Cape Ann League, and we're playing them well, state tournament teams. We had a couple games against Swampscott. One was 2-0, one was 4-1. They're the NEC runaway champs, had their best season in years. And, you know, they may have even overlooked us in the first time they played us, but I know they did in the second game. We were still neck and neck with them. It was a 2-0 game late. And so, you know, we don't have any seniors. We only have four juniors. And Coach Ryan has done an amazing job getting those guys to where they got to be. It's hard to win at the varsity level without seniors, and we're getting there. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long road, a lot of support from the community, from parents, a lot of buy-in from the kids that skate every morning at 6 a.m. over at Pinkley for practice and running to school, getting a shower, going to class while their other classmates are wiping the Sandman's out of their eyes, drinking a nice coffee. They've already been practicing, working their tail off. So those are kind of the highlights. I mean, I'm always proud of any kid that puts the Generals on the front of his jersey and takes the time to absorb lessons, whether it's life lessons or athletic lessons or whatever. We're very fortunate to work with great kids and great coaches. So a lot of highlights, but those would be a few of them.
Sounds terrific. And, Craig, at some point I'm going to ask, because it's a little bit of bug for me, and I don't even think I'm going to ask you to comment, but I do want to get it out there. You know, in the tournament this year, the public schools against the Catholics in the tournament, it just seemed to me, just unfair. I mean, everybody competed, and I got nothing against the Catholic schools. Don't get me wrong. The kids who go there deserve it. They you know, they get a great opportunity to play a notch higher sometimes, it's terrific. But it just didn't seem right this year to me in the state tournament. So is there any talk at all ever about having a separate tournament, or is it going to be this a continued mix between the Catholics and the publics?
No, I think what you find is, so that discussion does come up every now and again, as like at the MIA level meeting. It doesn't really come up in the Cape Ann League, but at the MIA level it happens. But what you've seen happen, first in hockey, more recently in baseball, is the Super 8 kind of breakout of Division 1, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, you'll get Austin Prep, a Division 3 school, who might go to a Super 8 or something like that. But, you know, the public schools have won the baseball tournament two years in a row. Braintree High School has won the Super 8 baseball tournament, beating the Prep both years. In the hockey tournament this year, Arlington High School won.
Yep, that's right.
And so I think what happens is, you know, I know this year in Division 4 with boys, the four sectional finalists were all from the Catholic Central League. That's sort of an anomaly. There's always a couple teams in there. You know, when we had our team a couple years ago, we beat St. Clement's, St. Mary's, and Pope John on the way to the
right.
Eastern Mass and yep. state championship. So it really just depends on the level, I think, in the particular year. I know Amesbury from our league went a long way in Division II for girls. So, you know, there are some great teams in those leagues, but look, I was an AD in that league, and I was a coach in that league, and, you know, there's no recruits. I mean, they do draw from kids, but oftentimes you're talking about kids that don't know each other, and they don't have the built-in advantage of kids playing together their whole life.
You know, that's a good point, Craig. I never even considered that because yeah. it does take a while to acclimate yourself and to get to know your teammates, and the coaches and the teachers have to do that. So that's a terrific point.
I mean, and I think anyone that wants to be a high school coach, right, or a high school teacher, I think is at heart a very good person. Now, there are some outliers that aren't, you know, maybe the best people across the state, and that's true in any walk of life. But you get people that want to invest in young children, in young people. You know, whether it's an inner city kid or a kid from the Cape Ann League or a kid from, you know, like a kid from wherever. You get someone that wants to invest their time. They ain't doing it for money. Like, believe me. And so they're doing it because they want to give of themselves through the vehicle of sport. And there's many, like, you know, there's a million life lessons you can teach, as everybody knows. And it's a special thing. And so anybody that does that, you know, maybe I just have a soft spot in my heart for them, and I just kind of, you know, take them that they're really there for the right reasons. And there's always going to be issues, and there's always going to be things that come up, but those people kind of really just are doing it for the right thing, and I'm really grateful to work with them, against them, compete against them, compete mm-hmm. with them, work for them, and it's what makes high school sports around here great.
Yeah, and as an athletic director too, Craig, you get to well, now you're probably at a point with the experience where you can nurture that, and you can see if a young coach might tend to maybe lean the wrong way before anything happens. You're able to advise against that, and you're right. All the coaches I know of, and I've been doing this for a long time, you know, they do it right. They want the kids to do well, and you know, it's. You're right. You don't do it for the money, especially coaching with some of the hours that they put in. My goodness.
I mean, like, and certainly there's mistakes that are made. I mean, I make mistakes. Coaches make mistakes. There's always things you wish you could have back. You mentioned when you were younger. I know when I was a young coach, there's things I wish I had back. And, you know, but I think the intention is there, and I think the intent is true and authentic and good. And I think when that's your baseline, when that's your starting point, you can take a young coach and say, look, I know what you're trying to do, and I agree with what you're trying to do. Why don't you try it this way? Or even a veteran coach is like that I might have a meeting with. I might go up to him and say, look, I'm not going to tell you what to do here because you know your sport better than me, but if I was you, I would consider this.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes,
yep.
And oftentimes a good coach will listen to that, and will listen to that advice and at least, you know, internalize it and try to incorporate that in what they do. And that's all you can ask for, is just work with people that want to get it right.
Absolutely.
And even if you don't, sometimes the intent is true and good.
Well, I know I'm keeping you from class here, but you know what?
All right, believe me.
Okay. I've been straightened out concerning Catholics and the publics. Thank you. But you know, there was a sports writer in Gloucester one time who came in from the Boston Globe to the Gloucester Times, and Doc Enos at that time was the sports editor, and Doc had been around for a while, and the sports writer for the Times that came from the Globe was writing about kids as though they were pros. So he was putting their names to errors, and he was putting their names to penalties. And Doc straightened about pretty quick, and this guy went on to become a really, really excellent sports writer. He's down in North Carolina now, and he's terrific.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, we get so much, like, you know, whether it's you or the Salem News or the Gloucester Times or, you know, like the Daily Evening Item and all these local publications that, you know, you come in contact with just phenomenal people that love high school sports, and it's fun. It is fun. Like, you go to a game, you mentioned, it is fun. And there's a lot of, like, you know, when you're going through it and you're, you know, maybe if you're a parent that's kind of watched a kid your whole life, a little bit more anxiety attached to it. I get that. You know, like having kids that are almost 12 and almost 8, I see that, you know, that's coming for them. But at the same time, you know, this is fun. And, like, you know, you get somebody like you or like Phil Stacey that just wants to just promote kids and just wants to, like, promote what the games are there for, which is to have an experience, right? That's the thing we say in our program is, we're not here to get you to college. We're not here to win state championships. We're not here to win league championships. But we are here to provide you with an experience that you can cherish and hold dear to your heart for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
You fall short of the mark sometimes? Yes, of course we do. It's a lofty goal. But that's our goal, and that's what we're, and anything else is kind of like just strays away from that central point. And that's what we try to stick to.
I love it. I love it. All right, Craig, what about spring sports? What do you got cooking?
Oh, man, we got it all. We got, you know, we got every coach's back, which I love because that really helps the stability of a team. Kerry Eaton is our second-year girls lacrosse coach. Their numbers are way up. I think her being there and being such a good lacrosse coach, she's an elementary school teacher in the district, you know, to hear the girls talk about her is to hear them, like, you know, if I was going to sit here and talk about Larry Bird or something. Reggie's back as our baseball coach. They've made the tournament a few years in a row. Their numbers are really strong. They're going to have a freshman program again, which is great. Tony Palmieri's back for a third year as head coach. In the second year, they made the tournament last year. They're out getting after it. I think Steve Sawyer has every kid that's not playing something else out there for track and field. And, you know, one of the things I love about him is he was, you know, we were talking about his invitational schedule and his JV schedule and stuff today, and he passes out a sheet to all the kids ahead of time with all the records and all the history of everything in the program. And I think when you're connecting coaches and you're trying to connect with kids, kids want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They are dying for it, and they may not even realize it, but they are absolutely dying to be a part of something special. And I think, you know, that's something that a Josh Wedge does in boys lacrosse, or, you know, like a Steve Sawyer does, is they connect kids to previous generations. It's one of the reasons why we did the Hall of Fame, right? You want kids to feel special, and that's what our coach is doing. It does speak to that experience. I'm excited. I think we'll do okay on the field and, you know, on the track and all that stuff. But, you know, it's the first week. It's, you know, the start of the second week of practice, and everybody's excited and wide-eyed and bushy-tailed about their season. And what else could you ask for?
Right, and it's so easy to schedule spring sports too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a piece of cake. I mean, as long as, look, I tell the coaches, look, if it rains, you play tomorrow. And just, you know, we try to tell the kids, this is the schedule, but please understand that this is temporary. And we got rain schedules for the gym, and, you know, luckily some of the snow is melting now. So, you get all this anxiety about all the snow being out there, and, you know, we'll be outside before you know it. We'll be out getting muddy and dirty and grass stains and, you know, I love winter sports. I love hockey. I love the swimming. I love basketball. But it's nice to be outside in the fresh air and get some grass stains on the uniform.
There you go. And the world keeps on turning. I keep trying to get a dome stadium built around here, but it ain't happening yet. So,
yeah, it's that's above my pay grade.
Got to keep working at it. All right, Craig, we're going to try to get over there and talk to you and the coaches as we can and check in on spring sports. But in the meantime, thanks so much, man, for all your help, and thanks for talking to me tonight. Appreciate it.
I really appreciate you and everything you guys do. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Craig. Take care.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. That is Craig Genualdo, who is the Hamilton Wenham Director of Athletics. A great guy, does a fantastic job as as the ADs in the area do, and it is, as he was mentioning, it's an experience for kids. And I know that in some of the smaller communities, some of the kids who play sports or just go to school in general, they're looking ahead. They're looking to go south of 128 or south or north on 95 or to get away. And they look at their little community and say, okay, it's, you know, I've got to get out of it. We got to get out of this place, as the animals used to say. But when they find out, as Craig was saying, when they find out the history and the culture of the sport and the school that they're in, and they realize some of the people, some of the names that have gone before and some of the records, whether it's a team record, an individual record, they realize that it's pretty much the same everywhere, and you can be proud of where you're from, and everybody has this legacy of terrific accomplishments, both academically and athletic. And every single school around here that I know of, every single school has that. You can go to any school on the North Shore, and that includes publics, privates, Catholics, you name it. You can go to any single school on the North Shore, big or small, and you will find Hall of Famers in terms of character, in terms of accomplishments, in terms of academics, and in terms of athletics. And I led off with character. You will find great culture of character in every single one of these schools. And boy, do the coaches have a large part of it. You know, coaching is part of teaching. Whew, I don't know where that came from, but there you go. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back, talk to Gary Larrabee for the first time in a few months. Looking forward to that. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns might be along by phone later on. We'll see.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Alrighty then, it is my great pleasure to bring back the great Gary Larrabee, golf writer, sports writer, and sports historian. Hi, Gary.
Well, how nice to hear your voice after so many months.
It has been a while. I think we ended up in October or something like that, and we get back into the golf season, and I'm not sure the landscape has changed a little bit, but we'll get to that. First, Gary, I want to get right into the fact that the Senior Open is in Salem this year, or the Salem Country Club this year, and so you got to give me an update. I know that probably something has transpired in the last 4 or 5 months.
It has. The golf course has gone through the winter very well, despite this most recent storm we had last week, which led to heavy rain, which led to a partial freeze. But all signs are that the turf got through last week's storm in this chilly weather, unseasonably chilly for late March, well. All the systems are go. The sales are going well. Volunteers are pouring in, and the we're just waiting to keep this countdown going. We've got about 3 months to go, Rick, and those 3 months are going to go fast when you think about the tournament coming up the end of June.
Well, I know that we're getting ready. Bill and I are looking for. In fact, we're starting to work on football already. So you don't have to tell me that this thing comes quickly. And how often do you meet with whoever you have to meet with regarding the Open?
Well, I'm in constant contact on a daily basis with Eddie Carboni, the executive director, and Morgan Goldstein, who's spearheading the marketing PR. Effort. She's the technology guru as well. She works on the fabulous website we have, and I'm pitching in all phases, marketing stuff, blog stuff on the website, stuff to putting together our championship magazine, and providing a copy for other publications. And it's been great fun, and it's hard to believe that we are really getting close to kick off here the last week of June.
What's the website, Gary?
2017ussenioropen.com.
Okay. I want to take a look at that, and we'll link to that. Very good. Okay. Well, I know that's exciting, and I can't believe it when all of a sudden I look up and there are ads on I forget what channel it is, but ads on television for the Masters, and so that must mean that, yeah, we really are getting serious about spring. So what do you want to bring us up to date on?
Well, the big thing is, of course, who will be in the field, and we're certainly hoping all the top stars on the senior tour these days will be there, including Fred Couples and Steve Stricker, a newcomer to the senior tour, who had a strong one but didn't win 2 weeks ago. They're playing this week in Biloxi, Mississippi. But we're talking about people like Tom Lehman, who did win 2 weeks ago. We're talking about John Daly.
Mm.
A couple of local favorites would be Fran Quint from Worcester, who just earned his card, his senior champion, PGA Tour champion's card last fall, who will be playing. He has to qualify, though. A lot of these players I mentioned, some of them have to qualify, because the local sectional qualifier for the U.S. Senior Open is on Wednesday, May 24th, 18 holes at Kernwood Country Club in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that date in mind. I'm also talking about defending champion Gene Sowers. We're hoping Tom Watson will be there. The best player on tour the last decade, Bernard Langer, will certainly be there. Colin Montgomery from England. Miguel Angel Jimenez, the Spaniard, who's had a great start to the Champions Tour, the over 50 tour. We won't see a local favorite, Brad Faxon, because Brad will be working the tournament that week for Fox Sports. Fox will be televising all 4 days for those who can't make it. But we are not sold out yet. You may recall, Rick, back in 2001 when we first hosted the U.S. Senior Open. It was the earliest sellout in senior tour history to that time. It's not quite as, we're not anticipating as early a sellout, but we still expect to sell out by the end of May. So we still urge fans who might be listening who have not purchased tickets, whether they be dailies or for the week, to get on the website and look at the ticket sale opportunities. There's all kinds of packages available. And the price couldn't be right when you're thinking about it, from 4 to 7 days of all-day golf action, 3 days of practice rounds, and then the 4 days of the championship itself. It's still a tremendous bang for your buck. You can also possibly get access to corporate opportunities that are still available. Keeping in mind, Rick, we expect to draw between 20 and 25,000 spectators each day. We also expect to bring in anywhere from $10 to $15 to $20 million of positive impact on the North Shore economy. So it's the biggest event, the biggest sporting event in the history of the North Shore. As we said in 01, it's the same thing in 17. And we're really looking forward to the action rolling in, starting that last week in June, starting on June 26th.
Tremendous, tremendous. And we're going to talk about it a lot between now and then. Have you interviewed any of those guys?
Right, they just got off the phone the other day with Billy Andrade for our Championship Magazine. He will be our best hope, I think, from New England. You know, another possibility is the director of instruction at Salem and the former director of golf at Salem, Kirk Hannafeld, who has already played in one of the three PGA Tour Champions events this year. He had a little bit of a cranky back the last few weeks. He will be qualifying somewhere in late May, early June. It will not be Kermit Country Club, but he will be qualifying. He missed qualifying last year by a playoff, I should say by one shot, down in the Philadelphia area. So he may be going to Metropolitan New York or the greater Philadelphia area again to qualify. Not because he doesn't like Kermit. He loves Kermit. But for a national championship qualifier, he feels he wants to play on the toughest golf course he can find on the eastern seaboard. And that'll most likely be the Philadelphia or the Metropolitan New York, possibly the New Jersey area as well.
Okay. Went down to Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago to visit Drexel with my daughter. I think she's going to be going there. So great city. You know, I'm looking at the agenda you sent along, and I love the way you wrote number two, Dustin Johnson, the new number one, a spot he could keep for years. Of course, said the same thing about others.
we have, you know, but Johnson has absolutely every possible conceivable golf talent you need to be a long-term number one. Sure, Rory McIlroy does to an extent. So does Jason Day to an extent. But right now, and of course, Jordan Spieth, we should put in that category as well, but no one has the combination of length, finesse, and all-around game, quite frankly, that Dustin Johnson has. And when he broke through last year, won the U.S. Open, had a great wrap-up to the year, player of the year, money winner, leading money winner, etc. And now he's come back with three straight victories now at this point this year, with the Masters 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away. It could conceivably become a huge year, a very historic year, for Dustin Johnson, and I won't be surprised if it happens.
All right. Anything else, Gary, you want to mention in this first golf report?
No, just to remind all of our golfers, I'm sure they realize we've had some early starts to the golf season in recent years, but this will not be one of them. It's going to be a real mud season around here, and they're going to have to be patient that the public courses and the private clubs are not going to be getting started till sometime in early mid-April. So please be patient on that. We should welcome two new head golf professionals to the region. Jack Davis has taken over at Essex County Club, coming up from Shinnecock Hills, where he was the number one assistant the last few years. And Michael Bemis has taken over from a longtime serving head professional at Myopia, Bill Safran. You know, Michael has returned to Myopia after being away for a few years, and at the Renaissance Club, he's now back at Myopia, got reacclimated for a couple of years, and now he's the new head pro. We congratulate and welcome them in the new positions, and I'm sure we'll be keeping tabs with them on what goes on at their clubs during the season.
Gary, I'm so glad we're able to keep doing this, and man, I really appreciate talking with you.
It's always fun, Bill, and we'll look forward to next week.
Okay, Gary, thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
So much. Thank you.
Very good. Gary Larrabee, sports writer and sports historian, golf writer, and of course the media liaison for the 2017 U.S. Senior Open that'll be held at the Salem Country Club. Good club. Going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll check in with Nick Kukuru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, and we'll have to run the interviews with the kids. We'll go a little bit long tonight, but that's fine. We'll be right back.
MSONewsSports.com is your new connection to North Shore news and sports. We provide video, radio interviews, photos, and much, much more. Our daily North Shore Today post features a local radio newscast, as well as related news stories, photos, and sometimes interesting videos. There are also several ways to listen to our radio programming on the website. On the top left of our webpage is a tab called 24/7 Radio. Here you will find our latest newscasts and interviews. Our MSO Radio Live Channel A tab is a fast way for you to click on and listen to our live programming.
talk shows, and live sporting events. We also invite you to follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports or check out our Facebook page. Very importantly, we want to hear from you. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. That's msonewsports@gmail.com. Or call our voice messaging system at any time, 978-325-3638. That's 978-325-3638.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we're back with Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times Sports Editor. It took me a little bit longer because I had the wrong number. I dialed the wrong number. So, you know, there we go. Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Well, except for being a little confused here. Usually Tim runs the phones, and Tim's not here tonight, so I'm doing it all. And my secretary screwed up, which is me. Well, you know what, Nick? You know, ordinarily I'd say we'd get into you know, what the spring sports schedule looks like here, but you had an interesting comment today on I don't even know where it was. I saw it somewhere, but something about the football schedule, the high school football schedule. Now, have you looked at it already? And what was the comment?
Yeah, I mean, and it is interesting to say the least, and I'd say interesting in a bad way. They announced the realignments. I don't think dates are completely set yet, but I mean, Gloucester knows which teams it will be playing next year, and they are in the second tier of the Northeastern Conference. That's now a three-tier league with five teams in each tier. That includes the four new Greater Boston League cast-offs, Malden, Medford, Somerville, and I'm missing one.
I can't think of it either.
Malden, Medford, Somerville, I'm missing one. There's one other team in there.
Okay.
Flipping my mind. And honestly, I don't like where Gloucester's standing. They're in the second tier with Lynn Classical, Medford, Revere, and Somerville, which I think is just about as lukewarm of a conference landscape as I can come up with. I mean, you know, I love to see Gloucester play Lynn Classical because it's a great game every year, no matter what. But, I mean, I don't know what. Any of those other three teams move the needle? I don't think so.
Well, I think, you know, Revere's okay. I mean, I love Coach Ciccatelli.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always a hard game. I mean, they play really tough. So I'll take Revere, and that has been gearing up the last few years to be more competitive and to be, you know, something that is a bit of a rivalry. But Medford and Somerville, you're right. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, I don't know who's going to come out to any of those games. It's quite an odd conference standings. I believe that the Lodge is pretty similar to what it has been, where you get your Beverly, Danvers, Marblehead. And then I believe it's Malden that is up there with them.
Uh-huh.
The Beverly, Danvers, Peabody, Marblehead, those four teams have just been killing each other for the last three seasons, and it's just been great football every week when any of those teams play each other. And then you add Malden to that mix. And I believe in the tier number three, you got Saugus, Swampscott, Lynn English, Salem, and that other GBL team that I'm missing that just seems to be slipping my mind right now. But I'll be honest, I kind of hate the schedule. I mean, I don't like the fact that Gloucester's not playing Swampscott for the first time since 1965. And Gloucester will not be playing Salem for the first time since 1973. I know Salem's been down for a while now, but that's still such a traditional, you know, rivalry, and there's just so many, you know, you go back through history, there's just been so many classic games between those two schools. And I just think it's a shame that we're not seeing the Witches on the schedule this year.
Well, you know, too, and I'm looking at, I don't know what the away games will be, of course, but Medford to travel, Revere's bad enough. Winthrop's the worst, you know, that's the road trip from hell.
Oh, yeah.
But we love Winthrop. We love playing Winthrop. Don't get me wrong. You know,
exactly. And they've been playing Winthrop forever, and that's always a battle. Winthrop's one of the toughest places to play in the
absolutely.
Conference, and that includes Newell Stadium.
It's a great place to play as well. But that's far it enough. Is. But then now you're talking about Medford and Somerville? I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Walter played in Medford in the consolation round a couple years ago, and I mean, I think the consolation round had a little bit to do with the lack of fanfare, but I mean, you could sit wherever you wanted. There was no one there.
Yeah, I know.
For either side.
Well, how do you fill out the rest of the schedule, Nick? Do you have any idea how that works?
Gloucester has, I don't know exactly what it is for everyone else. Gloucester has Beverly, Marblehead, and Saugus in their crossover games.
Oh, okay.
They mandated it where everyone has to play crossover games. I think the middle tier is kind of a little more lenient, and the other ones were kind of mandated, I think. I think the top tier had to play two games against the second tier and potentially one against the third. So they're all playing each other. There won't be any, out of conference. You won't see no Maskinomets. You won't see things like that.
You're going to have to.
But I was happy to see Beverly and Marblehead get in there, because if Gloucester and Beverly didn't play, I don't even know what.
I know. Well,
to me, I don't even want to think of that.
Yeah, obviously Beverly is you know, the real rivalry is Beverly, and Danvers is the Thanksgiving rivalry. Everything you just said, Nick, you're gonna have to put it in some kind of a chart for me and put it down with schematics, because damn. So you will have, okay, so that's seven games plus Danvers. They still play Danvers, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so the rest of it will be fleshed out during the tournament or the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's changed now. So, I mean, it's all confusing. I'll be honest. I don't like the three tiers of five. I like, you know, in all the other sports. I had a story in Saturday's paper kind of breaking down the spring. I threw the football tiers in there just to get them out there. But I'm going to do something a little, you know, lengthier on that in the coming weeks. But for the spring, every conference. You know, every sport, the conference is only broken down into two tiers, which I like a lot, because I mean, it makes that conference championship mean a lot more than it does when you have to play four teams.
This is crazy. Okay. Oh my goodness. Well, you've really messed me up, man. And
and we haven't. You and I feel the same way.
Oh God. And we haven't even gotten to spring yet. But
yeah.
Oh my Lord. Well, you know, the thing is we're actually just talking to Craig Genualdo over at Hamilton Wenham, and we are actually getting ready. Actually, Gary Larrabee. But we are beginning to get ready for football. We're trying to figure it out. So that schedule is going to. We have to deal with that. But, you know, I'm looking at your crunch time in the paper here, and it looks like the earliest opening for spring sports officially will be Gloucester Girls Lacrosse. They open up on Friday?
Yes. Gloucester Girls host Peabody, and the Manchester Essex Boys Lacrosse, they host Boston Latin. The Boys Lacrosse schedules will be in tomorrow's paper. And then you got Gloucester Boys on Saturday, and then just about everyone else will be getting going in the next and that next week. I think there's one or two teams that start on Monday the 10th.
Okay.
But for the most, it's that week, the 3rd to the 8th. Will be the, you know, when most teams get going, which is great, because I, you know, on the sports schedule, I think March might be the longest month. There's not a whole lot going on, so I'm itching to get out to a few games.
Well, yeah, and especially you know, with rainouts, it's going to be fun. And we got the advanced placement football schedule to study. But what do you got coming up in the paper, Nick?
We got a nice little story tomorrow. I've got to give a nice shout out to Gloucester Field Hockey. Got awarded by the MIAA, the Academic Excellence Award. They received for the team's combined grade point average of more than 3.0 gets you the gold award. And Gloucester's combined team grade point average is an incredible 3.5. I mean, I was incredibly impressed when I was talking to, you know, Coach Gove this afternoon. Just I mean, that's not easy in a team sport. I mean, there's always going to be someone that's going to drag that number down, but that doesn't seem to be the case with the field hockey team. And it just goes to show you how unsurprising it is that they had a great season. Not only are they great athletes, but they're all really smart too.
Sounds like they're wicked smart, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
3.5 for a team combined. That's incredible.
Some great student athletes. That's tremendous. Well, Nick, you really messed my head up. Thanks a lot, buddy. So I'm going to go see
no
if I can.
No problem.
All right. We'll see if we can figure this out later on. But thanks, Nick. I appreciate it. I had no idea that was all going on. Oh, man. Oh,
absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Yeah, I'm trying to iron it out myself, so we'll see.
Okay, and I'll keep my eye out for the paper. Maybe we can take a course on it or something or other.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you need now.
Okay. All right, Nick, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. That is Nick Kukru, who is the Gloucester Times sports editor, updating us on the crazy new football schedule locally. So Gloucester football will be playing Lynn Classical, Medford, Revere, Somerville, Beverly, Marblehead, Saugus, and Danvers. And, of course, whatever comes up in the playoffs. All right, I'm going to say goodnight from here on behalf of Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, Bill Proposky. And then I'm going to run the two interviews that Bill did with the North Shore Student Athletes of the Month. So thank you very much for being with us, and we'll be back next Monday night. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we're joined by Oliver Zemetrovic, who is the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month for the month of February. And, Oliver, welcome. Congratulations on the award.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, you're a swimmer, and at the prep you've had a lot of success, but maybe you could kind of, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot, but have you tell us some of the successes that you've had this past season in swimming.
So, yeah, I mean, this past season has been incredible, not only for team, but me personally, it's been a great season. For the preps, you know, last year was a good season, but this year, you know, we didn't have as strong a team as we do, as we did last year. Last year was a great season, but this year we don't have as strong of a team. So going into states, we were probably ranked fifth, and ended up on top by 60 points. Personally, I had never won an event at states, so it was really incredible to win the 100 fly. That, you know, felt amazing. It's one of the best races of my life. Especially, you know, with high school swimming, I noticed that I tend to do a lot better just swimming for St. John's Prep than I do for swimming for my club team. Just because, you know, swimming for the team means a lot more than individually. So yeah. Winning 100 fly was obviously incredible, but I think winning states as a team meant a lot more.
Yeah, so those are two very big things, and that was your said that's the only state title that you've had individually. But
right.
What other events do you do during the course of a meet?
So you know, states is kind of interesting because it restricts the number of events you can do. So you can only do two individual events and two relays. So I led off the 200 medley relay doing the backstroke leg, and then I did the 100 fly, swam the 100 backstroke, got second in that, and then led off the 400 freestyle relay, which is, you know, I think we got second in that. So that was a great race to finish off the meet with. Other than that, I swim every single event. Basically, other than the 500 free, so you know, backstroke, mostly backstroke, butterfly, individual medley. That's kind of my bread and butter. But also breaststroke and freestyle, I can do just as easily.
Wow. Well, those are all great. Now, the other thing too, I think, which is a really nice honor, is you've been named the MVP of the Catholic Conference, and so earning that to me is very special, because those are the folks that know you the best, compete against you, and to get that honor, I think, is very special.
Yeah, no, that was incredible. Winning the meet MVP at the Catholic Conference meet was great, especially, you know, winning events there, although it's not as competitive. That's the last meet that the whole team, not just the state and sectional team, gets to compete, so you know, going there and swimming fast for your entire team and having everyone be there, it's just really special. And, you know, having the whole Catholic Conference there to watch people swim fast and see me swim fast and see the team, you know, at the prep dominate, it's just a really great time out in Worcester at Holy Cross every year.
Yeah. Oliver, tell me about how you actually got into this swimming thing and a very high level of swimming.
Yeah, so I actually started 10 years ago. I swim at the Beverly Y, the Beverly Sterling Center, YMCA. And I've been swimming here since, like I said, 7 years old, probably around 2007. My mom was a swimmer. I think all of her siblings swam. And my older sister swam for a while. She went to Marblehead High School, swam for them. And she was the one that originally joined the Sharks, the YMCA at the North Shore Sharks, which is the team that I swim for now, the club team. And basically, I mean, I've just had so many great coaches. I've, you know, gone through every single level that you can, basically, in age group swimming. And basically, I mean, I've just stuck with it. And I had a great base of technique from the coaches, from various coaches that I've learned, just these little things that I've picked up. And basically, once you get to high school, that's where you put it all together. You're kind of, you're baked, so to speak, that you are what you are in a swimming world, essentially. And you can only go faster from there, basically. But you're basically stuck to your technique base at that point. And so at that point, you know, you just swim as fast as you can. And it basically just comes down to practice. If you can practice more than your competitor, you'll end up being stronger in the pool. So that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case, especially in a sport like that. I want to just follow up on one thing you said earlier, Oliver, and that would be that your times are better when you're swimming for your team, the prep team, rather than individually. And I think I can understand why you're saying that, but elaborate a little bit more on that, why you think that's the case.
Well, essentially, I see club swimming, like swimming for the Y, I see that as an individual sport because you don't really have any obligation to your team necessarily. I mean, that's not true for all teams, but we don't have that many boys that are older that swim in the same group as me in the national group. And so when we go to meets, we're not really nearly as much of a force as we are at the, like, swimming for the prep team, because obviously the prep, we've won 12 out of the past 13 state championships, in the last 13 years. Which is just, you know, unbelievable. So trying to maintain that legacy and continue what we like to call the dynasty, maintaining that means the world to not only the current swimmers, but the alumni and the faculty and everyone at the prep, is that we have, there's a certain expectation of excellence that comes from being on the prep swim team. So maintaining that is just, It's extremely important, and it motivates all of us to swim faster than we would at, you know, say, a club meet.
Gotcha. And if I caught you at the beach on a Saturday afternoon this summer, then I might be able to compete against you possibly then, huh?
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, not even on land, I don't think. Okay, so now the Moynihan Award is a student athlete award, which includes the classroom academics. You do very well in the classroom, but what are some of your favorite courses, or where are your interests academically? If you were to, kind of.
Interesting is, you know, my strengths and my interests aren't necessarily on the same page. Now, I find science absolutely fascinating. You know, astrology, space, all the stuff like that. Even, you know, the environment, the processes of that really interest me, but I'm a lot more inclined towards English, you know, like academically inclined speaking, so, you know, I do a lot better in liberal arts classes than I do in math and science. I just struggle more with the math and science. Now, I still do relatively well across the board, but I definitely enjoy the science classes, English classes, foreign language. I take Latin. That's basically my schoolwork.
So now you're a junior. You have some decisions to make, because when you head on to college, do you see yourself taking a science track, or are you undecided now, or would you take a more liberal arts track?
I highly doubt I'd go into science. You know, it's not necessarily, although it's interesting to me, I'm not necessarily, I couldn't see myself in a situation where I would actually be, you know, working in a lab or something like that. That's not really my strong suit. I would definitely, you know, I'm more towards business, possibly law. But you know, my dad's businessman. You know, that's just kind of the track that I've always thought of and actually could see myself doing in the future. So, yeah, I'd probably go to business school.
Oliver, am I right to think that swimming at the college level is something that you might be looking at, you know, after you finish your senior year next year?
Absolutely. I mean, really, at this point, if you swim as much as I do, I mean, I'm swimming like, I'm in the pool probably 20 hours a week. 6 out of 7 days I'm swimming. I have two practices, one before school and one after school, 3 days a week. So, you know, it's very taxing at this level, and I really wouldn't be doing it unless it was for a purpose, and that purpose is, you know, getting into a college that I otherwise wouldn't be able to just based off of academics. So, absolutely, college swimming is definitely what I'm looking forward to at this point. That's what I'm working toward. That's basically what my entire swimming career is culminating to. So that's what I've been tailoring all my strokes, all my, you know, all the little things are, you know, just to get to just the higher level, and that's college.
Well, Oliver, it's great meeting you, and best of luck on everything next year, of course, at the prep and beyond. And but again, congratulations on the award, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Oliver Zemetrovich, the swimmer and the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month Award winner for February, and I'm Bill Newell on MSO News Sports.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
Caroline Pratt from the Pingree School is with us, the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Award winner for the month of February. And Caroline, congratulations on winning the award, and congratulations on a great swimming career, albeit a young swimming career at Pingree. You're just a sophomore, but congratulations.
Thank you so much. Such an honor to receive this award. I know so many people were nominated.
No, absolutely. And tell us a little bit about what you have accomplished swimming-wise. Don't be modest here. I have some of the notes here, and some of it's up on the post and so on. But maybe take us through that, some of your accomplishments that you've had this year.
Okay, well, so for Pingree, I've broken 2 school records. And when I broke them, my first time breaking them was at our EIL League Championships, which is just our Eastern Independent League conference meet, and so I broke the 100 fly record and the 100 breast record, and then the next following weekend, I swam at New England Championships, NEPSES, and I broke my own records again at prelims and then again at finals that night.
Gotcha. Now, I imagine you're on a swim club team, too. Does that sound right to me, or to you, rather?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you find that are your times better at the high school level than that they are at when you're swimming for Pingree on a team, or are they pretty much similar to what you've done elsewhere?
They are pretty much similar to what I've done elsewhere in my club meets, at the championship meets for Pingree. My club coach, Janet Hardy, who's amazing, she make sure that we're all rested and everything for our high school meets and everything so that we are able to perform our best there and represent our high schools as best we can. So,
Let me ask you this. If you were to look back at this past, say, 12 months of swimming for yourself, is there one area that you kind of improved on maybe more than expected, or is there something that you're more proud of than something else? I mean, there's so many accomplishments here, but is there anything that kind of did you surprise yourself in any way?
Yes. So my 100 butterfly, when I was younger, I used to be a butterfly, but then I dropped that and moved to breaststroke. And so this year, it's just really, I've been focusing on it a lot in practice. And at one of the meets when I wasn't really focusing on it as much, I really surprised myself with my results. And it's my favorite stroke now. And, you know, I've just really been happy with how I've been swimming in that particular event. But I've also been really working on my mental mindset, which I think is really important key in all sports, not just swimming. And I've been really working on, you know, not really focusing on what I want to achieve right before I get up and race. I focus on, you know, how much I've been training, and I just really try and remember and try to remind myself how much I love to race and how much I love to swim, not really what the times are, what I'm trying to go for. I really just, you have to trust your training and just really, you know, think, oh, wow, I really love to race.
Now, where did you begin thinking about the mental preparedness piece? Is that from coaches or from some other outside information?
Yeah. So mentally, I've always struggled until this year where I really just tried to remind myself, because my coach, Janet Hardy, for YNS, my club team, she always, every practice, she always puts up a quote or an inspirational quote or like a mental mindset that she wants us to focus on that practice. And sometimes we'll have big team meetings and she'll say, okay, like swimming is mostly, you know, a lot of people think that sports are mostly physical, but there is a huge side that a lot of people overlook, which is the mental part. And so we'll discuss that. And so this year she's really, really helped me. And I think a lot of my part of my team, you know, just really flourish in that aspect of the sport.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that. And that's great to be able to get on top of that as just a sophomore, right? So, go ahead, Caroline. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Well, Caroline, tell me about the classroom here, because this is an award that's not only athletics, but it's academic. So where are your interests? Are they in the sciences, mathematics, history, English, literature? What interests you most in the classroom?
Mostly my interests are in science and math right now, but I really, really enjoy English and reading and writing. I think that's really important. You know, to be able to read and write well, that's really important.
No, absolutely. And do you have an idea what you might like to do later on? I imagine at this point you have several, but I wouldn't be surprised if you're zeroing in on a few, right?
Yeah, so well, I definitely want to go to a type of college that has a very, very strong academic program, as well as has a swim team that I know that I will do well on. So, but I'm interested in, like, the medical field and things like that, but who knows, it could change, so.
Well, keep your options open, keep swimming, and tell me, how did you get interested in swimming? What's the background? Is there a family connection here or something?
Yeah, so none of my family has any swimming background. but when I was about 5 years old, my family moved to Australia for 2 years. And when we lived there, we did swimming as PE or physical education. And so that's where I really discovered my love for the sport. And I really was like, you know, I want to continue with this, not just in gym, but also outside of gym. So I started it there. And I've been swimming ever since on the team. But that's really where it started.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, Caroline, anything else you want to share with us, either about the award, the swimming, the season, your team, or anything else that you'd like to share with us here?
You know, I'm just so honored and happy that I was even, you know, nominated for this award, let alone that I won the award. But it's so important to me that I was recognized for everything that I do, because it's just, I know that for athletes, you know, that are balancing school and their sport, it's just so difficult to do both. So it's just such an honor to know that someone's recognizing me and other athletes for being able to do both.
Yeah, absolutely. Working hard, both athletically and obviously in the classroom as well. Well, congratulations to you, Caroline, and hang on the line for just a second. But again, congratulations on the Moynihan Student Athlete Award.
Okay, thank you.
Caroline Pratt from Pingree here on MSONewsSports.com.